And I'll just begin by saying my name is Chris Bell,
and today's date is August 24th, 1982, and I'm at the home of Major K.S. Crabtree, E.D. And Major Crabtree, let's begin by you telling me when you were born and where.
I was born in Oldham, Lancashire, in 1909.
What
Scottish,
month?
Scottish and English parents.
What month and what day?
30th of March, 1909. And my father was an old professional soldier who had just, I presume, I got out of the army, and then he got married, and then I came along.
Mm-hmm. You say he was a professional soldier.
He was in the Queen's Own Camerons, joined about 18, ran away from home and joined about 1898.
Mm-hmm.
Was in the Egyptian campaign.
With Kitchener in the Sudan?
He was at Sudan. He was at Atbara.
Was he also at Omdurman?
That I'm not quite sure. But anyway, I rather think Omdurman.
Came before that?
Came before that, I...
Well, it's when Kitchener defeated the Dervishes, and I know that Churchill, the young Churchill, was there at the time.
Yeah.
It was around 97 and 98.
Well, I rather think... anyway, whenever Atbara was, I know he was there. He was just quite a youngster
mm-hmm.
at the time. And then, they, being in the regular army, they stayed there in Alexandria. And then they came down. When the Boer War started, they were brought by ship from Alexandria down to Cape Town, I presume, and then
through the canal or down the
came down the coast past was it Madagascar, and then participated in all the campaign there, and then the battalion went back to England. After that, they had been abroad for many years,
in India?
Which. All over the place, you know. He was in Malta for a while, Gibraltar, and which they did in those days, a battalion. Some men would join up and spend their whole 22 years
abroad,
you
yeah.
see. The battalion was whatever the regiment or the battalion or the regiment would be abroad all the time.
The height of the colonial wars for Britain, and they
right, pretty well.
So what happened when he got back to England after the Boer War?
And there's a little gap there. He finally got cheesed off and decided to get out. His term was up, and instead of signing on again, he got out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I presume he met my mother and got married.
And that was in England?
That was in England. That was in Lancashire.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's people came from the Scottish. And her father was a marine engineer of some type. I haven't a clue what. But, I presume he came down to Scotland, was working in Liverpool or Manchester, whatever, wherever they were building marine ships. Engine, you know, propulsion, these big engines. That's all. Pretty well all I know of them, except... He retired. When he retired, he went to live in Blackpool. That's it, as far as he was concerned.
So they
my father him. Went. My father went to work in. He wasn't an officer, by the way. He was mm-hmm. another rank. He went
still
to work.
Quite young at this time, wasn't he?
I mean, in his 30s, I guess, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And. He went to work in a cotton mill in Oldham, and it began to get to him after the army, like confinement, you know, inside
mm-hmm.
confinement, dust, whatever.
14 hours a day at the same time.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So he they decided to come to Canada. In the meantime, I was born in 1909, and we came out to Canada in 1913, right straight to Victoria.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were you the only child in the family?
No, I had two sisters.
Both older?
Both younger. Matter of fact, one next to me was born in England, and the third one was born after we got to Victoria.
Mm-hmm. And what did your father proceed to do when he got here?
Anything he could find to do. Times weren't all that rosy in 1913. Mm-hmm. He did all sorts of things, as far as I know.
But why did he come to Victoria in the first place? Why did he choose?
His brother was here. Right. I had my uncle Harry, who died about 10 years ago, age of 84 or something.
Well, what did Uncle Harry do?
Everything. He'd worked on the railroad all across and on the farming and usual thing they did in those days, you know, farmed in Manitoba or Saskatchewan or somewhere. Ended up helping build roads or something in North Vancouver, and then ended up here. He bought a place out near Swan Lake on Falmouth Road. And we came straight out to him. And then when the First World War started, my father nearly went crazy, according to Uncle Harry. How can I get back to my regiment? Mm-hmm. That was the only thing in his mind. Get back to England. No thought of joining the Canadian Army or anything. You got to go back to the Queen's Own Cameras. Anyway, Uncle Harry apparently told him, don't be a damn fool with your experience and whatnot in service. You'll get promotion immediately, which he did.
So he did join up here?
He joined up here, yes.
With Gordon?
In the 48th Battalion. No time at all was a company sergeant major. And then they went overseas. I think they left in 1915.
Yeah, they were some part of the 3rd Division, I think, and they went over late 15.
Anyway, but he was able to take me to school, my first day at school, in Ptolemy School out there on the Boleskin Road, I guess it is. I think it's still there.
It is.
The building's there. I don't know if it's still running as a school.
It's a small brick building, isn't it?
It's a red brick building. Yeah. It seemed a big one to me, but we were in a little wooden building, as far as I can remember, just across the street from the present brick school, which was there. And so he went off for overseas. I remember them leaving. I remember the day the 48th Battalion left, because my mother had taken us all down. We're standing on the causeway, just opposite the Visitors Bureau. Well, I distinctly remember it. I suppose I'd be seven or something, anyway.
About six or seven, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was obviously more than, because I'd already started school at six. Must have been seven, I guess. I remember that. I remember them going away. And then, you know, life went on, which it does for a youngster.
Well, how did the family provide for themselves? Did Uncle Harry help out?
No, Uncle Harry joined the army too. He was what else? Being a true Brit.
Did he join the 48th as well?
No, he didn't. He was in something else.
Not cavalry, but artillery.
No, he was infantry. Mm-hmm. He was in the 67th Western Scots for a while. I know of. I've just forgotten exactly that he was very badly wounded. In fact, both of them, my father was too.
Where were they wounded?
Well, Uncle Harry was wounded in the hands and the legs, and, you know, his hands. He had only about 50-60% use of his hands.
What battles were they wounded in?
Hmm?
What battles were they wounded in?
I really don't know. I never studied the First World War at all, really, because I was too young. Anyway, I was...
They both came back before the war.
They both came back, and Uncle Harry was a year or more in hospital.
Mm-hmm. In Shaughnessy in Vancouver?
No, he was at Qualicum. The old Qualicum Hotel. It's not there now. It burnt down, but that was a rehab...
Convalescent
home, rather. Dad was badly wounded in the lung, and they couldn't operate.
Was it a gas wound or shrapnel?
No, it was a piece of shrapnel. It was still in his lung when he died. But anyway, he was lucky he got away with it. And he'd got to be regimental sergeant major by this time. And when he came home, they he and my mother split up. She took the two girls, and he got landed with me. And did a pretty good job when I think back on the difficulties, you know, bringing up, and well, I'd be nine by this time, I guess. Nine or ten.
Was he a strict disciplinarian?
He was very strict. But I got to know it. When he told me, when he said something, I knew I had to do it or I'd get a belt over it. Well, there were no problems, really, that I know of, you know, I mean, he did pretty well by me. He bought a place out at the gorge.
Mm-hmm. Whereabouts in the gorge?
Near Portage Inlet. Mm-hmm. And I went to Craig Flower School till I finished Craig Flower School.
And that would have taken you up to about grade 8, grade 7?
I don't. I've forgotten what it is now.
Yeah. But did you go to high school then?
No. I refused to go to school. I think I'd be 13.
Mm-hmm.
12. 13, I guess.
So grade 7, I guess.
And one day I decided I'd had enough. And I just wouldn't go.
Was it that you were something of a rebel in school that you didn't?
No.
Listen to the use of it?
One of the kids, you know, never got into any trouble. Got the odd strap, but just like all the other kids did. Never got into trouble, really. But suddenly something came over me that I wasn't going to go to school anymore.
What did your father think about
he
that?
He beat the hell out of me. I still wouldn't go to school. So he got me a job in the Union Club as a bellboy.
Really?
Yeah. And I stayed there. I guess I was there about three, four years.
Mm-hmm.
3 years.
It must have been a fascinating place to work.
Oh, yeah. It was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Mm-hmm. Why would it?
I learned so much about, I don't know, how things are done and, you know.
Things you probably...
Because it was very much, it was a very different thing to what it is today.
What was it then?
At that time, they had very serious doubts about allowing stockbrokers to join. Oh, yeah.
So it was based upon old money and old
family. Money and whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Some of the governors of the Hudson's Bay Company, or the, I can't remember, A.C. Burdick that started Pacific Salvage.
Couldn't get in because they were...
Oh, they were in.
Were they?
Yeah, but... They stockbrokers were, I think they were joining about that time, but it seems to me I remember hearing that it wasn't all that long before, that you just didn't rate.
No. What about military officers? Were there many in the...
Mm-hmm.
People like Peck, perhaps, or even a Perk?
Peck, definitely, because he was in Victoria. I remember him, and Colonel Pryor, E.G. Pryor, who was Lieutenant Governor one time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember some of them, Colonel Niven from Work Point, and
But it was truly the Englishman's social club as we...
Yeah, but there were quite a few Canadians in it, but it was still the old-fashioned way, you see.
What's it
no women, no women allowed?
No
way. They didn't even have a separate room for women. They weren't allowed in the dining. They weren't allowed in the building. Period.
What sort of uniform did you have to wear?
I forget. I think I had the little white jacket. That's all.
Little hat on, perhaps. Too.
No. Nothing fancy at all. So bloody long ago, you know.
Were you in cadets at this time, or had you been in any form of cadets?
Yes, the sea cadets.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in them for about 1 year, I think.
Was it Sea Cadets or Naval Brigade? Boys Naval Brigade?
No, it was the beginning. I think it was the Sika dance. Brigadier Adams was in it, too,
mm-hmm.
about the same time, although we didn't know each other.
He was in the same unit you were in, but you didn't know each other.
No. Well, there was only the one, the Sea Cadets, at the time. We paraded in the old drill hall, which is now the motor vehicle branch.
Mm-hmm. Did you find that very useful at all, or was it interesting?
No,
or fun?
It was not useful or anything else, but I just loved it. I always wanted to be a sailor.
Had you?
And I've loved sailing all my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's been my one main hobby.
Do you still sail?
Not now. I can't handle a boat anymore. I sold my boat about 6 years ago, I guess, my last one. And,
Did you do much sailing in Sea Cadets?
No, not then.
Was it mostly rowing or going out on motorboats?
No, they didn't even have boats in those days.
Oh. You
know, we used to drill and usual cadet stuff,
high
you know.
Knots,
and,
How long were you in Sea Cadets?
No, about, as I remember, I couldn't have been much more than a year.
But it didn't really leave that much of an impression on you.
No.
What about summer camp?
Never went to summer camp, really. Well, that was it. And I stayed at the Union Club, and must have been 3 or 4 years.
So you're about 17 or 18?
16. Probably. Yeah, 16. When the famous Sam McClure, the architect, was looking for a young man to train.
Mm-hmm.
And
had you shown promise at all?
No, I'd never done any drawing, never tried or anything else. But anyway, he took me into his office, and I was with him for a good three years.
Mm-hmm. Doing what?
Learning. I was just beginning to learning to draw, architectural drawing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But after about 3 years, I had come to, by the time I was about 19.
So about 1920?
18, something like that.
So about 1927.
I had come to the conclusion that, you know, architecture wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the work, but I couldn't design a chicken coop.
Why, do you think you have to have some sort of
no, you've got to have it.
The creativity and originality.
Originality and creativity. I didn't have it while I was a damn good draftsman.
Mm-hmm. Could you not have followed a career as a draftsman as opposed to an architect?
Yes, I did. I went to the architect's office in the Parliament Buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And stayed there till 1930. Then things just like now, you know, slowed right down. There wasn't anything, and I wasn't on permanent staff.
Were you unemployed, or were you just...
So I went. They sent me up to highways. And I worked in highways for a while. And then went out into the field and worked with a surveyor, with the highway engineers, you know, surveying and all that kind of stuff, which was proved very, very useful in my military. As far as maps,
mm-hmm.
a lot of all that stuff I knew how.
Well,
I knew how they were made and all that sort of thing.
Did you enjoy the work, being outdoors?
Oh, yes. Loved it. The best job I ever had in my life. Literally.
Yeah,
most enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And
the job took you all up and down the island?
Only as far up as Renfrew.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was on the engineer's gang, running levels part of the time on the present location of the Malahat. And then everything got really, everything back, practically closed down.
This would be in the mid-30s, 1933?
Early 1931.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I had joined the Scottish.
When did you join?
In 1929.
Why did you join them? What motivated you to do that?
I was playing rugby for them. No, it's funny how these things go, but there was a chap by the name of Lambert, Bill Lambert, Lieutenant Bill Lambert, who was looking after the second rugby team. We're the lightweights, really. They weren't big enough to play, or heavy enough to play on the first team. I had to be quite honest, I can't remember how I came to start playing rugby for them. But anyway...
You were a good rugby player, though, and they...
Well, I was in the second team, for what it's worth. As a forward, and I couldn't run fast enough to get out of my own way, you know, really. But anyway, that was it. Bill Lambert recruited me, mm-hmm. and I joined as a private. Went to two summer camps as a private.
So the summers of 29 or 30?
Roughly.
What were the summer camps like? At about that time, I read in Dr. Roy's book that you were doing some combined operations up at Maple Bay.
I was at the Maple Bay camp. Not knowing what went on, of course, private soldier, you know, really, but I knew the Sea Force were there and they'd come by ship from Vancouver and whatever, maneuvers and things.
Were they hidden in the trees or just off the beach waiting for you?
I can't remember, no. I really can't remember.
Did you enjoy
it? It was all new to me, you know, really.
Had they given you much training beforehand?
Oh, yeah, I'd had some... drill in the armories and things. I'd never had any
practical experience
outside. But
looking back, so perhaps not remembering it, did you find it enjoyable and useful?
Oh, well, about useful, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And then there was a period, I think about 6 months.
Following your...
That I couldn't come in. I was too far away. I couldn't come in for parades in the wintertime.
This is when you were surveying up.
So. Surveying, yeah, and whatnot. Yeah. And.
Wasn't there some sort of rule that if you didn't attend so many.
There was a gap, you know. They usually extended it if they thought you were going to come back. But fellows are moving around. They get a job here, a job there. They couldn't stay in Victoria.
Yeah.
Stay in Victoria, starve. So, we were all young.
Were you still living with your dad in town?
Yes. At least when I was home.
Mm-hmm. You know. Moving around a lot.
And there may be a gap of a few months, but I can't swear to it. I've never bothered to really look it up.
But you were, for all but that time, on the rolls of the...
Scottish, yeah. And then when I came back into town... I got my usual promotions and became a sergeant.
How did the promotions come about? I've heard that if you recruited so many soldiers that you would get a rank above you. You're a private, you became a Lance Corporal if you recruited 6 soldiers.
I believe there was something like that, but it never concerned me. Because sometimes my attendance was a bit sporadic from time to time, you see. I'd be away for a few weeks. Whatnot and back and forth. And anyway, eventually became a sergeant, and then I was commissioned out of the sergeant's mess in 1935 as a second lieutenant.
Was it second lieutenant?
Yeah, I was never an officer cadet.
No.
I went straight second lieutenant. One night in the sergeant's mess, the next night I was over in the officer's mess.
Was this something to your liking, or did you want?
No, I loved it. It was my hobby.
Is that how you looked at the Canadian Scottish hobby?
Pretty well. It was my club, my whatever. I played rugby. I did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was my main, outside of that, that and playing around with a boat. We lived down at Fowl Bay and had a boat
mm-hmm.
at the time. So if I wasn't fiddling around with a Scottish, I was out sailing or trolling.
Was your dad
fishing.
A good...
Dad loved the boat, too. Mm-hmm. He loved it. And so that was it. I attended. We used to have people come up from Work Point Barracks, some from the permanent force, and they'd run night schools
mm-hmm.
during the week. Thursday nights might have been 2 nights a week, but I think it was only a Thursday night. Theory, mainly theory,
mm-hmm.
except they did drill us, train us, that. We did quite a lot of drilling.
But it was mainly
drilling our own fellow, you know. But then the theory, tactics, any number of stuff, things. And then in the summer, I went to Work Point and was attached to PPCLI for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Qualified for lieutenant.
Full lieutenant.
Mm-hmm.
Such that you would be working and training and having under your command a permanent force section.
Well, it wasn't, it was very skeleton. They didn't have all that many. But they had devised a scheme that was rather clever, too. They would have two men and a pole. That pole represented the width of a platoon
uh-huh.
in line.
Mm-hmm.
And you could drill. You could drill a platoon within a company
mm-hmm.
by these fellows, you
the
see.
Time.
They knew what they were doing. And then you could drill a company. Of course, I didn't. I mean, that was... I presume captains.
Yeah,
captain fellows qualifying for captain and whatnot.
Have you ever seen times that this is nothing but a game with men holding pieces of wood?
Well, we knew what we were trying to do.
Yeah. You were deadly serious in what you were doing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. It wasn't just a, you know, game of fun and games. It was quite serious. And
well, tell me, if you're on a 6-week course, it's usual procedure in a militia unit to give your pay back to the unit. Would you keep your pay in a 6-week course?
Kept your pay. You had to.
So you had to...
Well, I mean, you were attached to the permanent force. You had messing,
mm-hmm.
mess dues, the whole bit. You couldn't afford to... None of us had any money anyway, really, you know. And,
well, becoming an officer must have meant added financial responsibilities because I think you had to pay for some of your...
We bought all our... paid for everything.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't this be a handicap for you?
No. Not that I can remember. No, there was always somebody getting out or whatever. He'd sell his stuff. You'd buy it off of him.
Was it sort of transitory, the status of the officers in the unit? Like, there were always men moving on, men coming
in? Not all that much, but there was always some. Like, I was able to buy my mess kit, for instance. I've forgotten whether I ordered a kilt from Scotland or whether I bought it off somebody. I rather think I bought it off somebody. Bought my mess kit and my, you know, there was no battle dress or anything of those. You had serge, Sam Brown.
The kilt, it was a Seaforth tartan, wasn't it?
No, the one I had was Royal Scott. Yeah, the landing steward kilt, what I bought. But as another rank, I wore Seaforth. I wore the Mackenzie tartan.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that's all we had, really. It wasn't, the battalion hadn't got an issue of that. But the officers all wore landing steward. No, it wasn't a bit of a problem. I think I paid all of $12 for my claymore.
Mm-hmm.
They got a half a dozen of them turned up from somewhere. Those are the ones with the cross hilt and the leather scabbard. I think it was $12.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I never had any problem.
And you're young and you're single at this time. You're not married.
Oh no, I'm single.
What about the actual weapons? Did you have Lee Enfields or Ross rifles?
Oh, we had Lee Enfields, and we had Lewis guns.
Many of them?
Enough to train on, I know. I fired them.
Were they Lewis with the round...
With the round drum, yeah, on top. Well, that, I didn't see my first Bren gun until just before the war started.
Mm-hmm.
Not too long before the war started. They had a sergeant from the PPCLI toured all the units, infantry units, on the island, probably did the same on the mainland, too, demonstrating this thing.
Mm-hmm. Of course, he didn't have any to give out. He was just showing them what
just
this
showing
was.
It off. There were no issues.
What, when you were commissioned in 35, what company were you in?
A Company.
And who was the commander then?
Colonel Travis. Old Bob Travis. He's still alive. He's 80. No, he's 90.
Is he?
He's into his 91st year. He's just he had his 90th birthday this spring.
Was he a First World War vet?
Oh, yeah. But not with the Scottish. He'd been with the artillery in the First World War. He and Archie Wills. You see, occasionally Archie has articles in The Islander.
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, the
colonist.
And the colonist, The Islander, Archie Wills. He and Bob were in the
artillery
same battery, apparently, overseas.
And they're both still alive.
Yeah, they're both still alive.
That's
Archie's pushing 90.
Mm-hmm.
And he's as bright as bright. So both of them are.
Yeah.
Yeah,
amazing. I should contact both of them, actually.
Hmm?
So I should contact them. See if they'd like to talk to me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, anyway, Bob joined the Scottish. Bob Travis, you know, joined the Scottish after the First World War. I don't know exactly when.
Did you find that there were a lot of the officers were of First World War vintage?
Oh, sure. A lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Including lieutenants as well?
No.
They're mostly younger fellows.
Captains and majors. Mainly because they had a bit of seniority. There was only one or two captains, I think. I can't remember any lieutenants. But they may well have been the odd one.
Mm-hmm.
But they all seemed like old fellas to me.
Mm-hmm. You being a...
They'd be all 35 or
What about the NCOs? Was it the same thing?
Yeah, there were some... There were quite a few First World War NCOs. They were damn good fellas, too.
How did they approach militia life? Seriously or as a club?
Well, they were reasonably...
Efficient?
It was a club, essentially, you know, as such. But they obviously were interested because they'd go and they'd sign the acquittance roll just like we did.
Mm-hmm.
All your mile, your pay went to the Battalion Regimental Funds. The only time you drew pay was when you went to camp.
Mm-hmm. And that was just
everybody,
days
all ranks. Hmm?
That was just perhaps 3 days in
a week.
Year.
A week in the summer. So they, oh no, they were in it because they liked it. And you just seen them when the Second World War started. Boy, they were going to all sorts of dodges to try and stay in, you know. They figured some of them were too old.
Who was the commanding officer when you joined up?
Colonel Martin.
Did you meet him when you enlisted?
Not when I enlisted. I didn't meet Martin until I was commissioned.
Yeah.
Hell no, the colonel was up and, way up. And
but surely, if it was a club, wouldn't he come down and shake your hand and say, nice to have you with us?
Well, there was a, you know, some...